Do you know who Jesus is? Find out today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. This month, we are going to answer the question, who is Jesus? In this study, we will look into the identity of Jesus Christ by seeing what the Bible says about Him. Well, with your Bible open, let's begin our study today in Matthew chapter 1.
It's hard to believe that the Christmas season is just a few weeks away. It amazes me how time is moving so rapidly. This morning, I want to direct your attention to this section of Scripture that begins in verse 18 and takes us on through the end of the chapter. For the next few weeks, as we talk about the subject of who is Jesus. Now, I know that many times we have the answer to that question, and I would like to, as the Holy Spirit leads us, expand our understanding. The Bible has some amazing things that are found there about the birth of Jesus Christ. And it saddens my heart, and I'm guilty of this, that we don't talk about it enough. And we wait till the holidays to talk about such a subject, and it's certainly a subject that needs to be talked about continually. Because when you look at the birth of Jesus Christ, you see some very amazing things that surround His birth. Look with me there in Matthew 1, and beginning at verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus." Biblical history records some amazing and spectacular births. The birth of Isaac to a previously barren woman, nearly 100 years old, who was laughing at the thought of even having a child, was a miraculous birth. The womb of Manoah's barren wife was opened, and she gave birth to Samson, who was to turn a lion inside out, kill 1,000 men, and pull down a pagan temple. That too was an amazing, spectacular birth. The birth of Samuel, the prophet and the anointer of kings, to the barren Hannah, whose womb the Lord had shut, that revealed divine providential power. Elizabeth was barren, but through the power of God, she gave birth to John the Baptist, of whom Jesus said that there had yet been no one greater among those born of women. But the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it surpasses all of these. All of these are spectacular births, but the birth of Christ is even greater. And why would we say that? Well, look there at verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows." We know exactly the origin of the Messiah. We know how He came into the world. And it was even a miracle at that. Notice what He says. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. If you read in Luke chapter 1, you see the angel Gabriel goes to Mary and tells her about this event, what was to take place, and she's standing there in amazement saying, "Well, how can this be?" And yet the angel tells her that the Lord will do this. See, there are so many things that surround the birth of Christ, and it's a shame that it's only at Christmas time that some of this stuff is brought out. But everything that we believe about Jesus Christ hinges on these truths. Can you be a Christian and not believe in the virgin birth of Christ? I don't think you can. Because that is part of what John says is the doctrine that we bring. You see, everything hinges around that, because if he was not virgin born, then he could not be the Messiah, because the scriptures prophesied about that birth. Think about that for just a moment. A very miraculous birth. It was foretold by the prophets. Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And you see the first that's mentioned, and that is Moses. In Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15, you find these words: "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." Now go over to verse 18. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Now what is taking place in this chapter? He has just talked about what is not apportioned to the Levites, and then he begins to talk about the behavior of the Israelites. He's telling them that the nations that you're going to dispossess, you're not to be like them. You're not to listen to them. And what were some of the things that they were listening to? Well, if you back up and you look there in verse 13, he tells them that they are to be blameless for the Lord your God. "For these nations which you will dispossess," what did they listen to? They listened to soothsayers and diviners. He says, "But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you." If we were to apply that to modern day language, folks, people are listening to the psychic hotline, and they're going to psychics. They're calling the 900 numbers. And they're trying to find direction in their life through all these different means. And who was appointed for us to listen to? It was Jesus Christ. Because he says here in this chapter, you're not to listen to them. You're not to listen to the things that the nations listen to. But you're to listen to the prophet that I am to raise up. And there he was foretelling about Jesus. You can find Jesus in the Old Testament. In fact, one of the best ways to witness to a Jewish person is to show them Jesus in the Old Testament. And show them that he is and was the promised Messiah. If you go back there to Matthew chapter 1, you find there in verse 23 a quotation from Isaiah. And it tells us here, this is a quotation of Isaiah 7 in verse 14. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." I love this because Matthew translates right here what Isaiah 7:14 primarily is referring to. And he tells us in verse 22 that all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. All that took place was according to God's divine plan. It was according to his word. Over in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore." And so we see that this miraculous birth, it was foretold by Moses, foretold by Isaiah, and also it was foretold by Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 23, in verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch. And he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land." Well, not only was it foretold by Jeremiah, but also Micah. Micah foretells of this in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, "But as for you, brethren," or Bethlehem, "too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler of Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Beloved, it doesn't stop there. Not only Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, but also David. David speaks of this in the Psalms, in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. He says, "I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, Thou art my son. Today I have begotten you." Even over in Psalm 40 and verse 7, it says, "Then I said, behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me." The birth of Jesus Christ was foretold by the prophets. But not only was it foretold by the prophets, it was also foretold by the angel Gabriel. Now, I've already made reference to this, but turn with me over to Luke chapter 1, and let's just look at that in a little bit more detail. In Luke chapter 1, and beginning at verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was." I guess if we were to reinterpret that today, we would say she was blown away. Verse 30, "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Now if you go back over to Matthew chapter 1, you find right there in that verse, in verse 18, when it says here that she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, there it is speaking of the fact that this child came through the means of the Spirit of God and not through Joseph. Again, we see a very miraculous birth, foretold by the prophets, foretold by the angel Gabriel. Just as a footnote, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 11, on down to verse 20, Gabriel also foretold the birth of John the Baptist. Now, when you look at all of this, you say, well, okay, this is words on a page, but what we see is the fulfillment of these words on a page. There are people today that are still looking for the coming of the Messiah, and He has come. He has come. And everything that you learn about Jesus Christ, He could not be anything less, anyone less. When you start studying about who He is and what He has done, that no one can do the things that He has done or say the things that He has said unless He were God. We see also that this miraculous birth was witnessed. It was witnessed by men and by angels. If you look there in verse 25 of chapter 1, we know that Joseph witnessed this. As he's there receiving that instruction in his dream, God spoke in time past, as Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, He spoke to the fathers. God used dreams, and He used visions. He used the mouth of prophets to speak forth His word. I don't believe God does that today because we have the written word of God. We have it completed. That's one of the problems that I have in some of the circles that I see when people say, God said this, God said that. Folks, we have a closed and completed canon right here. A closed and completed book. Amen. Why would we say, God said this, God said that, when we're not even paying attention to what He said right here? And there's a lot here, isn't there? But when you look at this, you see here that Joseph receives in that instruction what is taking place. And you get down to verse 25, and he obeys that instruction. He says here that he did not know her, and that is a sexual, intimate relationship. He did not know her in that way till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Now, when you look at the birth of Christ, and you see that it comes from the woman, you find something very amazing being fulfilled here, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. You remember what God said? He said here that I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. And what you have here is a fulfillment of that verse. Because you do not see Jesus coming from the seed of Joseph. You see Jesus coming from the seed of the woman. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And we see here the witnessing of the birth of Christ, of course, by Joseph. We also see, if you go into chapter 2, by the wise men. I like to use the word that's used there in the original. It's called the Magi. It says here in verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him.'" And as you know, the story goes, they sought to inquire about where this child was. And when they finally found where he was, it says here in verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Notice, even during that time, you find that the location changes as to where the baby was. You also find a time factor occurring, because now this is not referred to as a babe, but it's referred to as a child. And also that they are in a different location, because it says when they came into the house. I'm sorry that we just messed up our manger scene. I don't believe that the wise men were there in the beginning. I believe that there was a time that took place. But how can we truly understand as the world seeks to interpret that? The problem is the church has followed suit in that. But I don't think that there's really much of a point there, other than the fact of the birth of Christ. The birth of that baby. Now, what does that mean about that babe in the manger? You know, during this time of the year, people are satisfied with recognizing a baby in a manger, but not willing to see that that was God in a manger. Amen. Now see, when you recognize who He truly is, you come to terms, you come to grips with that identity, and you know that His identity will reflect your destiny. Amen. You come to an examination. And I believe that every person needs to come to an examination of the identity of that child there in the manger. See, I believe that this is one of the greatest times of the year where Satan works the hardest at deception. Again, people are satisfied with a babe in a manger, if that's all it is. But when you start talking about the implications of that child, you start talking about what that means and the demands that he makes on your life, then people get upset. Because he does make demands, and the gospel does make demands. Look over with me to Luke chapter 2. Over in Luke chapter 2, we see that this miraculous birth was also witnessed by the angels. It says over in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Not only a witnessing here of Joseph, the Magi, the angels, but you also see the witnessing of the shepherds. Verse 15, "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." Brother Aaron, I believe this is a wonderful verse that talks about evangelism. What did they do? They had heard from the angels about this miraculous birth. They went and witnessed it themselves, and then they made widely known the information that was given to them. Beloved, that is evangelism. That's exactly should be our response to the birth of Christ. First, it's personal. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you received Him into your heart? Have you surrendered your life to Him? That is the personal aspect of it. And now you take that and you make that widely known. You go and tell others about the Savior. You know, we ought to be that kind of minded. We ought to have that kind of perspective always. Thinking about the people on the right hand of you. Thinking about the people on the left. Thinking about your family members. Thinking about your co-workers. People that you attend school with. Do they know Jesus Christ? Do they know the God in the manger? Christmas time should be a wonderful opportunity for us to be extremely evangelistic. Because the subject is there. I remember when I worked for a funeral home, it was very hard to talk about death. People don't want to talk about death, but when someone dies, you're on that subject. Right? Funerals are a wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel because you're talking about death, and all of us are going to have to experience that unless the rapture occurs and you're translated directly. Amen? You go out like Elijah. It says here that they made widely known the saying which was told them. They didn't make it up. They repeated what was told to them. Folks, that's the same for us. We don't have to make it up. All we have to do is repeat what the Bible says. That means that presupposes that we need to know what the Bible says in order to repeat it, right? Well, we see that the birth of Christ, a miraculous birth, foretold by the prophets, foretold by the angel Gabriel, witnessed by men and angels. Let me give you a last one that's mentioned there. And he's found also in Luke chapter 2. Over at verse 26, you find a man named Simeon. It says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's anointed, or the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." So we see here a very miraculous birth. But can I expand this a little further? What do we discover from such a miraculous birth? We've hit on this a little bit. But let me propose it in the way that Jesus proposed this. He said this directly to the disciples in Mark chapter 8 and verse 29. He says, "Who do you say I am?" Because there was a lot of things said about him. A lot of people had a take on Jesus, didn't they? They saw the things that he did. Some got to witness the very miracles. We were watching a show last night. It was very cute. Have you ever watched the Rugrats? They're cute. They said it was a mirable. That's how they said miracle. A mirable. I thought that was cute. Well, here's a mirable, okay? Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, many will say that Jesus was a prophet or that he was a good teacher. But they will not say that he was God in the flesh. Because, see, when you come to that reality, then the pieces come together. The babe in the manger is God. The babe in the manger is God. Then you begin to ask other questions. What does that mean that God came to earth? Well, in John 1:1, we know this verse. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then it says in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." That's the God in the manger. The Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "God was manifested in the flesh." Sounds clear to me. Does it sound clear to you? The miraculous discovery. What do we find? Well, read Psalm 45 and verse 6. This is also quoted in Hebrews 1:8. As it's applied to Jesus Christ, as God the Father is speaking in Hebrews 1:8, he says, "To the Son." And then it's a quotation of Psalm 45:6, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom." Beloved, Jesus is God. Jesus was with God, and He is God, and He became flesh to dwell among us. But what, for what purpose? I wrote a song some years back, and the title of it was "Born to Die." He came to die. He had one purpose. And it's mentioned there, if you look there in Matthew chapter 1, He says here in verse 21, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." Well, notice some miraculous discovery in His name. The name Jesus there occurs 700 times in the Gospels, 100 times in the Epistles and Revelation. The name itself is the Greek equivalent of Jehoshua or Joshua. And it literally means Jehovah saves or Yahweh saves. The next name that's mentioned there is the name Christ. That also is reflected of the Hebrew word Mashiach or Messiah. This term here, it occurs 49 times in the Gospels, 235 times in the Epistles and in Revelation. What is He saying here? What is the identity that's found here by His name? He is Jehovah God. He is Yahweh. And He has a purpose, and the purpose is spelled out in His name. And what is that purpose? To save His people from their sins. Why did He come? He came to save His people from their sins. He came to bring deliverance. And if you're here this morning and you have not been delivered from your sins, Jesus came to deliver you.
Have you been delivered from your sins? Jesus Christ is the only one who can forgive you and grant you eternal life. Will you trust Him today? You've been listening to a new study called "Who is Jesus?" from Matthew chapter 1. This message is available on cassette tape or CD. To learn more about how you can receive this message in either format, call us at 904-651-3351 or visit our website at www.changebygrace.org. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information about our ministry, call us at 904-651-3351. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening, and I hope that you'll join us again next time as we study Who is Jesus?